Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
So you can live two ways, two sets of wisdom, the world's wisdom or God's. He said, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder in every evil thing. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. What I just described, the character of Jesus Christ. That's Christ. Just like last week. Is he pure? Is he peaceable? Is he gentle? Is he reasonable? Is he full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy? Yes. That's the wisdom from above. He said, that's what you need to have.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
In 1 Kings 3, remember the question God asked him? God said, ask what you wish of me to give you. Did you ever wonder, I wish God would ask me that? Just imagine, God speaks to you and says, Solomon, you ask whatever it is you want me to give you. What would you want? You see, you can have anything. Solomon said, I want wisdom. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but see, that, boy, I wish God would ask me. You don't have to worry about that. You have the same access to the wisdom of God as Solomon does. Go with me to James chapter 1 in the New Testament. James chapter 1. And these verses, by the way, will tell you right off the bat whether you have any wisdom at all or not. They'll tell you. And you have to be honest with yourself here. Forget you're in church. Because when you're in church, you always want to say the churchy thing or the right thing. Think about the way your life really works. Here's how he starts in verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter the worst days of your life. Is that you? No, it doesn't say worst days, but it does say, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Is that your response? Do you consider it all joy when you encounter the most difficult times of your life? Do you consider that? It'd be wise to. That might tell you how wise you are. You see, you're like, wait, but that doesn't even make sense. I mean, most of the people I get involved in, when something, they face a trial, inevitably their responses are usually like this. How could this possibly happen to me? Why me? Why now? What's going on here? Where's God? Is that wisdom? Well, look what he says. God says, I'll tell you why. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Wow. Yeah, why do various trials come to me and to you? God says, I want to test your faith. You see, one of the things you learn throughout the scripture is, if you have real faith, you can measure it by how much will your faith endure. You tell me how much your faith will endure, and I'll tell you how much faith you have. That's what happens in Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 11, in the beginning of chapter 12. Faith endures. Chapter 11, we call it the Hall of Fame of Faith, and guess what it's all about? What would they endure? How much will you endure and still have faith? That's how the Bible measures the amount of faith you have. What will it endure? And he said, when you go under various trials, many times, what other choice do you have but what? To endure it. I've got to endure this trial. God says, yeah, that's an important thing. Notice, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, or teleos, complete result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What's that mean? It'll mature you. God says, when a various trial comes your way and you do it, It will mature you spiritually. You'll be more conformed to the image of Christ than you were before. That's why I let various trials come into your life. You know what that is? That's wisdom. Now you might be sitting there saying, I don't get it. I just don't understand that. God says, okay, let me show you. He said, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach. It'll be given to you. There's a promise. You lack wisdom? God says, I'll give it to you. No, I can't lack too much wisdom about this. Because if I said to God, God, this is Bill. What's going on here? I don't get it. God's going to say, Bill, listen carefully, and he's going to tell me. You know what he'd say to me? Bill, didn't you read the verses before it? Didn't you just read? I just gave you the wisdom. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, endurance will have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There's the wisdom, Bill. Ah, thank you, Lord. You see, there's the wisdom of that kind of a situation for each and every one of us. But God says, I'll give you wisdom. The reason is God says, I want you to have wisdom. I want you to live with wisdom. Why? Because he loves us. Isn't that exactly what you do if you're a good parent? Isn't that what good parenting is? Son, daughter, I want you to make wise choices in life. You see, I want you to have the best possible life you can. I want you to be discerning. I want you to make good choices. I want you to live wisely. Why? Because I love you. That's the whole point. You see, and that's what God says to us. That's what I hope happens. That's what I want to have happen. There's another kind of wisdom. Look at chapter 3 of James, verse 13. Here he makes the comparison, and he says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show. Now, notice he didn't say, raise your hand. How many people in here are wise?
I think I am.
You see? Or I could put on a test. Do you consider yourself wise?
Yes.
God says, no, I don't mean it that way. He says here, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior and deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. You want to know if you're wise? Your life will show it. You'll make solid choices. You won't live with anxiety and worry. You want to know if you're wise? That's what will happen in your life. He said, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, he said, do not be arrogant, so does lie against the truth. He says, look, you can't be that kind of person. If you are a person that is, you find yourself jealous of what other people have, if you have selfish ambition, you're looking out for number one. Remember, what's the wisdom of a world? The greatest thing you can do is look out for you, right? That's what our world says. What does the Bible say? Consider everybody else is more important than you are. That's the wise approach. What's the world's approach? You look out for number one. You're number one. You see, selfish ambition is part of the American dream, isn't it? That's the whole point for us. He says, look, if you're doing that, he said, notice what he says. This wisdom, he said, is not that which comes down from above. It's not God's. It's earthly. It's natural. It's demonic. Wow. He said, you can live two ways, two sets of wisdom, the world's wisdom or God's. He said, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder in every evil thing. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. What I just described, the character of Jesus Christ. That's Christ. Just like last week, is he pure? Is he peaceable? Is he gentle? Is he reasonable? Is he full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy? Yes. That's the wisdom from above. He said, that's what you need to have. God tells us to pursue wisdom. The most important question is, how do we do that? How do we pursue wisdom? What can we do? Nothing here earth-shattering, but 3 points, I think, that will help us understand how to pursue wisdom. The first one is found in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. In verse 20. And this shouldn't shock you at all. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Here Solomon says this, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. First thing we can do, hang out with wise people. Hang out with wise people. You see, that's the first thing you can do. Let me ask you, do you have wise people that you can go to that you know have biblical wisdom? You should. You see, you should have that kind of wisdom. You should be able to do that. It's important. None of us live in a vacuum. James Emery White says this, I'm shocked how many people attempt to make life-changing decisions, try to determine God's will for their lives, or seek to follow their life purposes and never bring other people into the process. This causes you to miss two of the very important tools that God wants to use in guiding you. The first one is objectivity. Be honest, none of us are objective about ourselves, much less our lives. Neither am I. I'm surrounded by my emotions, my circumstances, my biases, and my desires. I need to go to people who see things completely independent of that. But that's not how I get, he said, but that's not all I get through good counsel. I also get wisdom. When I go to someone, I get his or her experiences, maturity, and knowledge concerning what I'm trying to decide. This isn't about ruining my life or running my life by committee or taking what somebody says and feeling as though I have to follow it. It certainly shouldn't be used as a shortcut for the hard work of studying God's word and God's moral will, or investing in prayer, or in evaluating my circumstances, or even using common sense. But going to someone who is intimate with God and intimate with you will be able to help you, give you advice that's invaluable. You do that. You see, when you're making choices. And I don't mean, well, I talk to my friends about it. Unless you're certain your friends walk with God and that they have some sense of wisdom. I can remember some time ago I had to make a decision that was an extremely important one, one of the most difficult and gut-wrenching decisions I've ever made. And I remember when I made it, I decided to reach out and contact some men that I knew. One of the men I contacted was the president of the seminary that I attended, who was a friend of mine. And in each case, every man told me exactly what I'd already decided. But boy, was that reassuring. See, I had a lot of emotion in that kind of a decision. But they said, this is the wise thing to do. I learned that. You have to learn to hang out with wise people. That's the point. And again, think of yourself as a parent. What do you pray for your teenagers? They hang out with wise people. I tell people this all the time and they don't like it. Okay? If you want to know what kind of kid you really have, just meet their friends. You look at their friends and you know what kind of kid you have. And a lot of parents, no. He's a great kid. His friends are not good. But he's a great kid. That's not the way it works in life. Water seeks its own level. That's the way friendship works among teenagers. You want to know about your child, what they're really like, just see their friends. That'll tell you what's going on. So we have to hang out with wise people. Secondly, let's go to Job 28. Job 28. The second thing we have to do is if you're going to acquire wisdom, you have to have a humble spirit. As soon as your spirit's not humble, you cut off the chance of wisdom getting to you. That's a very important part of this. In Job 28, look what verse 12 says. Job writes this. He says, where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Where do you go and get wisdom? He said, man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. That'll tell you clearly, where don't you get it? You don't get it out there. Wisdom is not sold out there. You'll never get it out there. He said, man doesn't know its value and it's never found in the land of the living. Verse 15, pure gold cannot be given to exchange for it, nor can silver be weighed as its price. You can't buy wisdom. It's something that's not acquired through buying. Verse 20, where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? He said, it is hidden from the eyes of all the living. You'll never find it out there. Verse 23, God understands its way. He knows its place. There's only one source of wisdom. It's God. There is no other source. Verse 28, it says, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, to depart from evil and understanding. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. What's he mean by that? Sinclair Ferguson describes the fear of the Lord this way. It is that indefinable mixture of reverence and fear and pleasure and joy and awe which fills our hearts when we realize who God is and what he's done for us. You see, whenever I realize who God is, guess what else happens? I realize who I am. As soon as I get into the presence of God that way, I understand me. The higher I think of God, the less I think of me. It's not comparable. He says, look, I'm the dispenser of the wisdom. You come to me with this humble spirit, and he said, it can have an enormous effect on you. Fear of the Lord. Go with me for a moment to Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Jeremiah 9, 23. See, when I go to God and I'm seeking wisdom, that's pretty much what I'm seeking. And sometimes we have to be careful with this. If I go to God and I say in my prayer, God, where are you? Let me ask you, is that wise? Because where is he? I think he's where he's always been. I don't think he moved. So if there's been a change in our relationship, was it him or me? It's me. You see, I have to humbly go and say, Lord, I don't know what I've done, or I've done some things and I know we're not walking closely to him at all. Or, God, don't you care? Now, please understand something. That's virtually blasphemous. Should I know better than to say, God, do you care? Sure I should. That's not the wise thing to say. He does care. I know that. You know, you think this is, can this possibly work out for me? All things work together for the good, right? So why am I asking him that question? So I have to be careful with this. I have to see him, elevate him to who he is, and understand who I am. Here in Jeremiah 9, verse 23, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. By the way, wise men will never tell you they're wise. You see, wise people never tell you they're wise. Other people say they're wise. But if you say to you, are you wise? You bet. I'm one of the wisest guys you'll ever know. That tells you right then, I am not wise. This is not a matter of somebody saying it on their own at all. That's not the way this works. He said, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Notice, that's all pride. Let him who boasts boast in this. He understands and knows me. He said that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. I delight in these things. See, when you go to someone who has wisdom, they can say, I can tell you what God said. I can tell you what God said because I know God. Such an important factor with this. Hang out with wise people, maintain a humble spirit, and one more. You have to hear with a submissive heart. Go with me to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 17 and 18. You know, when Solomon prayed to the Lord to get wisdom, he said to the Lord in his prayer in 1 Kings 3, he said, give therefore your servant a hearing heart. Lord, I want to hear you with my heart. Now, the only thing I must say here, New American Standard is off base here. I have to use the verses because that's where I preach from. The word's wrong. They translated it wrongly, but that's the way it goes. It says in verse 17, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. That word mind is not mine. That's the Hebrew word lebe. It means heart. King James Version, heart. New King James Version, heart. NIV, heart. ESV, heart. Everybody translates it heart except New American Standard, which translates it mind. It's the word for heart. What's it mean? It means my inner being. It means my soulish nature. It means, in a sense, where my will exists. See, even the place where my will exists, where I make choices. And he says, incline, he says, notice that, apply your heart to my knowledge. He said, for it will be pleasant and keep you, and he said, and keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips, so that you may, he said, that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you even today. He said, that's the way this works. You've got to be convicted by it. Let me say it this way. We're not wise because we have God's word. We're not. We're not wise because we desire God's word. You're not wise because you know God's word. You're not wise because you memorized God's word. You're wise only if you do God's word. That's why James said, don't be a hearer only. You got to be a doer. He said, a hearer deludes themselves. A hearer sees himself in a word and then goes, looks in a mirror, he says, and forgets what kind of man he is. It's only doing the word of God. You see, in churches just like ours, we have an awful lot of people that know the word of God, desire the word of God, but they don't do it. They don't do the word of God. And knowing the word of God or even memorizing the word of God does not make you wise or spiritual. It's only how you do the word of God. And that's what he's saying. You have to hear with a submissive heart. So, the Bible says there's two ways to live your life. You can live with the knowledge of the world that he calls folly, or you can live with the knowledge of God, biblical wisdom. God tells us that we have to pursue wisdom. Make every effort. Have it of great value. It'll guard our lives. You see, it protects us. One of the great truths of Scripture, which I wish wasn't there, but it's clear. In Galatians, Paul says, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, what? He will reap. What's that mean? You're a product of your choices. You make foolish choices and you'll get foolish consequences. It'll be painful for you. That's his point. That's why wisdom is so important, that you understand wisdom so you don't have to face all those terrible consequences. And God's more than willing to give us his wisdom. How do we pursue it? We hang out with wise people. We maintain a humble heart before the Lord, and we have a hearing, sensitive heart. Wisdom will guide you through all the choices of your life. If you want to know how practical this is, when you apply biblical wisdom, I just want to tell you, it changes everything. How do I handle the finances of my life? What's the word say? Not what they say. What's the word say? How do I treat my spouse? What's the word say? How do I raise my kids? What's the word say? You see, not what are they saying out there? What's the word say? How do I deal with almost impossible people? What's the word say? How do I deal with my enemies? People who don't like me? What's the word say? How do I face this suffering that I'm going through? What's the word say? You see, it's an extremely practical thing. Without biblical wisdom, none of us will ever experience the abundant life that Christ spoke of. We have to choose wisdom rather than folly. Let's pray. Father, my prayer is simple. May your Spirit convict us. These things are not difficult to understand. The Scriptures are clear. You want us to acquire wisdom. You've told us that we can ask you for it and you'll give it. And you told us that if we do, we will mature and be conformed and grow in our spiritual lives and be more like our Savior. And if we don't, we will face the consequences of all of the bad choices we have made. Father, I pray that we ask ourselves, am I wise? Do I seek the wisdom of God with great effort? Do I want to take that wisdom and pass it on to others, especially my own children? Father, when we do this, it's for our good, and it's for your glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.